Today we are still reading from Judges 17. I was talking with my wife last week, and she's like, "Well, I didn't hear anything about hospitality." And I'm like, "I talked all kinds about hospitality." And as I was doing my sermon this week, I realized I didn't actually talk about the actual verses in Judges 17 about hospitality. I just defined in all other places where hospitality was shown in the Bible as giving examples, which kind of made me laugh and then apologize to my wife and go, "You are absolutely right." So just a quick reminder in verses 4, Judges 18. Nope, 19. We're in 19. I am so sorry. Judges 19:4. All right. He went after her. Okay, so then the husband arose and went after her to speak kindly to her and bring her back. This is the Levite going after his concubine who had chosen to be with another man. And then after that, she left and went to her father's house, who accepted her back in. And so the Levite says, the husband, being the husband of this concubine, arose and went to her to speak kindly to her and to bring her back. He had with him his servant and a couple of donkeys, and she brought him into her father's house. And when the girl's father saw him, he came with joy to meet him. So this is his father-in-law that came to meet him. And his father-in-law, the girl's father, made him stay, and he remained with him for 3 days. So they ate and they drank and they spent the night there. And on the fourth day, they arose in the morning and he prepared to go. But the girl's father said to his son-in-law, "Strengthen your heart with a morsel of bread, and after that you may go." So the two of them sat and ate and drank together. And the girl's father said to the man, "Be pleased to spend the night and let your heart be merry." Verse 7, and when the man arose to go up, his father-in-law pressed him until he spent the night there again. And on the fifth day, so up until this point, he first was going to stay just 3 days. Now he has stayed an extra night. His father-in-law pressed him. He's like, "You know what? Rest yourself. Be full of food. Be safe. Stay here the night. Stay one more night." So he's now stayed 4 nights. And on the fifth day, he arose early in the morning to depart. And the girl's father said, "Strengthen your heart and wait until the day declines." So they ate both of them. And when the man and his concubine and his servant rose up to depart, his father-in-law, the girl's father, said to him, "Behold, now the day has waned toward evening. Please spend the night. Behold, the day draws to its close. Lodge here and let your heart be merry. And tomorrow you shall rise early in the morning for your journey and go home." So, hospitality. This is what this man was showing to this Levite, the husband of his daughter. Now, could have been for any number of reasons, but as we spoke about this morning in today's Bible study, hospitality was a big deal. You know, I mean, people opened their home. They may have even had, as Dale said this morning, a room set aside, a guest room to set aside and allow people to stay the night. And as we will see later on in these verses, most of those who traveled carried what they needed with them, as far as food and food for the donkey and blankets and everything like that. They carried what they needed. They just needed a place to stay. It could be a cave. It could be a stall. It could be a guest room. It could be somebody's home, something of that nature. But they generally carried what they needed, okay? So he's encouraging the man to stay one more night, but the Levite was ready to get home, ready to get about his business. He's grateful for the father-in-law who was so kind to him, and he went back himself to make amends with the lady, his daughter, so the concubine, as she was called, but she was a second wife, as we learned earlier, what concubine meant. If she was a second wife behind a first wife, she didn't have the rights of a first wife, and she most certainly probably wouldn't inherit what the first wife would have. This makes no mention of a first wife. So, there. So there's that. Okay? So we saw her father's kindness to him. His heart wanted this to be right, and he showed him great kindness, and he fed him, and he gave him shelter, and he made things right with his wife, and it was good for him. And so he's encouraging him to stay one more time. So this is the fifth day. They ate, they drank, and the day has waned. It's getting late. But the Levite said, "I have got to go." So we saw examples of hospitality. And we read about this last week in Genesis when Abraham meets the actual Lord and he asked him to stay and he prepared a meal for him. When Lot hosted the two angels in the town of Sodom, he brought them into his house and he fed them. When Laban, who was Abraham's servant, was searching for a wife with Isaac, Laban actually asked the servant to come into his home. I have a place prepared for you. Stay the night. When Moses killed the Egyptian and he fled to Midian, and then he met his future wife and his sisters and he saved them from guys who were going to rob them. And so his future wife's father said, "Where is the man?" and brought him back into his house. That was in Exodus. And then even Paul saw hospitality given to him by Lydia when she had at her conversion in Acts. Okay. Lydia with these women were sitting by the bank and they were praying. And then Paul and his companions, when the praying was over, got up to leave. And Lydia said, "Come and stay with us at our house." So see, hospitality was a thing in the Old Testament, you know? And I pray that it's a thing that we as Christians would be willing to experience on our own, because it changes your heart. Everything that Jesus does changes your heart. When you became a Christian, it changed your heart. When you believed in God that you couldn't come before him because you're a sinful man or woman and Christ died for your sins and you believe that, it changes you. You're a different person now. When you're talking to Christ about what we just talked about Jesus and, you know, why are you like this? It changes you. This changes you. This is one of those steps about being a Christian. You have people in your home, you know, and it's some people are born to have hospitality. Others, you have to break down those walls. But hospitality is a blessing to the one who hosts. Can I say that? When a host has somebody in their home and they have been hospitable and showed them food and kindness and love and stay the night if you need to, you change. You change your heart. You change the way you think. You realize God is the one who has given me everything that I have. God is the one that has blessed me with the talent to work at whatever I do. God is the one that has given me the strength to have a family and raise a home and have the money for this. It's all by God's grace. And all he asks in a little bit in return is that we show hospitality to those around us, to others. You know, we break ourselves down and show that kind of love. God loves us so we can love other people. He first loved us so we can love others. Okay? We get that from him. And it's a grace. And you're showing your faith in him when you do these things. It breaks down. You're not relying on yourself. You're relying on the sovereign God who created everything you see. Everything that's out there, he created. And that's who you rely on. Trust me when I tell you, brothers and sisters, better to rely on him than to rely on ourselves. Okay, so hospitality is huge. And this man was unbelievably thankful and showed hospitality greatly. Okay. Fourth day, he rose early and he prepared to go, but the girl's father pressed him to stay. Strengthen your heart, have a morsel of bread. Look, he's a Levite. It's not that he didn't enjoy the hospitality, but let's just say he had stuff to do, right? He's a Levite. He's got things to do. He might be serving in the next day or two, and he's not at home. He has to travel. Whatever it may be, he was ready to go. Okay? And just like God's people, we shouldn't dawdle. Does that make sense? We shouldn't put off what we can do today. We shouldn't put off until tomorrow what we can do today. That's a big deal. Really. We need to, am I all good, brother? You hearing me? Okay. We need to stay focused on what we have to do. And what you put off, then it becomes a little bit accepting to you. And then maybe we get a little bit lazy. And then maybe what should have been done doesn't get done. And so we're kind of seeing a little bit of this. He has stuff to do. And you know, Solomon, being as wise as he is, it reminded us of Proverbs 27:8. Like a bird that wanders from his nest is a man who wanders from his place. Okay, it's like, oh, I'll get to it eventually. He persuaded him to stay one more time. Maybe he was unsure of when he would see his son-in-law again. I don't know, but he persuaded him to stay one more time. But he's a Levite, and we have things to do. So there's conflicting things, okay? But just remember, as us, we also have things to do. It's nice to be on vacation. It's nice to have people in our home. It's nice to do these things, but we also have things to do. So the two of them sat and ate and drank. Okay, and he spent one more night, let your heart be merry. But when the man rose up to go, his father-in-law pressed him to stay to spend the night again. As we see in Luke 24, which is a beautiful story about after Christ has risen from the dead on the road to Emmaus, I want to just read this. And even our Lord and Savior was just persuaded to stay a little bit longer than he intended. Here we go. Road to Emmaus, Luke 24:13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. Okay, this is just after the resurrection of Christ. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood, still looking sad. Then one of them said, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." Verse 20, "And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him." 21, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. "Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive." Verse 24, "Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?'" And beginning with Moses, he went through everything, okay? Beginning with Moses, he talked about everything. "So they drew near to the village to which they are going. He acted as if he was going further." Jesus was acting as if he was going further, okay? "But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.'" Sound familiar? All the way in the New Testament here. That's so far from Judges 19. Almost the very same words. But here, two people were speaking with Jesus, and he just walked through the entire Bible, starting with Moses, explaining it to him on the road to Emmaus. And he was ready to go. And they said, "Stay with us." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. Even our Lord and Savior put off what he wanted to do and stayed with them. It's not unheard of, but we need to be aware of our parameters, of what we need to do in our life. Now, this is Jesus. I'm not going to speak with Jesus and say he did something wrong. Never. But even our Lord and Savior was persuaded. So on the fifth day, we see this Ephraim, this Levite rose early in the morning, and the girl's father said, "Strengthen your heart," and the same thing, and he begged him to stay. So he ate, and the day waned on, and then, "Behold, now the day is waned on toward evening. Please spend the night. Behold, the day draws to a close. Lodge here, let your heart be merry. Tomorrow you shall rise early and go on your journey." And now, the Levite at this point in day, I don't know what waning in the day means. They've been eating all day. All I know is I would need a nap, probably. Okay, but he decided to go. 4 days and a half was long enough. You know, the man had showed unbelievably gracious hospitality. He said, "It's time to go." And one of my commentators said, it might have been unwise in setting out so late on such a long journey. Okay, he might have gotten home better if he had stayed the night longer and then began the day before. All right. So once again, like that bird in the nest Proverbs, we don't want to get away from what we need to do, all right? Let's not be idle in our work. But what we saw here was forgiveness from the Levite. What we saw here was hospitality from the concubine's father. And we saw that the man had something to do, and he wanted to get on with it. So these are things that we as Christians need to be aware of. We need to forgive as we've been forgiven, okay? That's the biggest thing. We need to show hospitality when we can and when it's appropriate, okay? And we also need to not put off today and do what, you know, put off till tomorrow what should be done today. So, the next set of verses talks about how the Levite and his concubine had set out and they were neglected being shown hospitality. So let me read verses 10 to 15 and see just how far we get. Oh, that's the worst when you put your little marker out and you have to find your place. Okay. Verses 10, but the man would not spend the night. He rose up and departed and arrived opposite Jebus, that is Jerusalem. He had with him a couple of saddled donkeys and his concubine was with him. When they were near Jebus, the day was nearly over, and the servant said to his master, come now, let us turn aside to the city of the Jebusites and spend the night in it. And his master said to him, we will not turn aside into the city of foreigners who do not belong to the people of Israel, but we will pass on to Gibeah. And he said to his young man, come and let us draw near to one of these places and spend the night at Gibeah or Ramah. Verse 14. So they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down on them near Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin. And they turned aside there to go in and spend the night in Gibeah. And he went in and sat down in the open square of the city, for no one took them into his house to spend the night. Let's stop there. So they got caught in the dark, right? They didn't make it to where they wanted to go, so they got caught. And they are looking for a place to stay. Verse 11 tells us when they were near Jebus, which is the name for Jerusalem, actually, but it was held before it was conquered by the Israelites by the Jebusites, one of the very nations that God said that should be removed. Okay? The day was nearly over, and the servant said to his master, come now, let us turn aside to this city of the Jebusites and spend the night in it. Matthew Henry gave this long explanation about this, but what I got from it was the verse that he quoted, John 12:35. Okay. So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. Let that ruminate for a minute. Let's break it down. Break it down. Light, Strong's, G, 54, 57. We know what light is. Look out the window. So figuratively, it means the flood of luminous rays which flows from the sun and constitutes day. Okay? Light. God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. So it says in Genesis 1:3. Anything that gives light, as a lamp or a candle or a lighted star, is light. Metaphorically, light is the illumination of our mind. Light is instruction. Light is knowledge. Light is understanding and wisdom. Okay? So the first part of that verse, Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light. You see how this applies a little bit to what we're talking about here. Jesus is the light, meaning for us spiritually, he is the one that gives us understanding and wisdom. He is the one that has given us forgiveness of our sins. Jesus has nothing to do with darkness, okay? He is the illumination of our mind, our instruction. He is our all knowledge, and he is our wisdom. While we are walking with Jesus, we are enlightened. Why do you feel so good about, why do you always say, better than I deserve? How are you today? I'm great. Because we have been instructed and are knowledgeable of our sinful, selfish self. So Jesus, when he was walking in this time, said, why? The light is among you. I'm here now. Walk for a little while longer with me. Walk while you have the light. Metaphorically, be wise and discerning while you have Christ in your heart. Let him fill your heart with knowledge and understanding so that you too can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this instance, also, the light has waned. Okay? It's dark outside. Shouldn't be walking around in the dark. Literally. Darkness in actual meaning, figuratively, is the absence of light, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Okay, when God, that was back in Genesis, God hovered over the deep, and he made, you know, that was, it was dark. Metaphorically, it's a state of being intellectually clouded. Ignorance. It also means infernal gloom, as in hell, as utter darkness. Such as utter darkness being in Matthew 22:13. Then said the king to the servants behind him, and hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When he made a feast and invited everyone and no one came, invite everybody that you possibly can. Someone finally came. He wasn't wearing a wedding outfit. And he actually said this, take him and bind him and throw him into outer darkness. Darkness is hell. Intellectually clouded. Ignorance. So, where was this Levite? You know, was he walking in the dark when he had the light? He had the light to walk. He could have walked, and he knows well enough in his mind that the light's waning. Why did he leave at this point in time? You know, my question is, how much of us are walking in the dark? You know, or are we walking in the light? Are we clouded in our judgment, or are we full of God's grace and mercy and knowledge? Okay. I obviously didn't do justice as Matthew Henry would have at this point in time, but I hope you see the connection versus walking in the light, walking in the light. All right? Walking in the darkness is also something like great trouble, distress, calamities, perplexities. Come on, we've all been there. You know, when you're down and depressed, things aren't going well, everything is wrong. It just one thing seems to be piling up on another. That's walking in the darkness because we're trying to do it on our own. I see the Levite doing this here. I'm making a decision. We're leaving now. This is what happens when we don't lean into God, when we don't trust God with our whole life, not just some of it, not just part of it, but all of it. You know, and you can't tell me that when you're feeling down and depressed and something's going wrong in your life, that when you pray, and you ask for clarity of thought, clarity of mind, help me in this situation. Dear Lord, I can't do this on my own. Please help me. Give me the wisdom and discernment to understand the next moves I need to make. I leave this in your hands. I pray these things in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. Do you not feel a lift of the weight of the darkness of this world? I can't help but think that we do. We feel that weight lifted when we bring it to Christ, when we've brought to our knees and we're tired of walking in the dark. We're tired of making the wrong decision. We're trying to do things on our own. We're tired of it. And when we give it all to Christ, when you have that moment with him, that prayer, we're filled with light again. Are we not? This is sort of the thing that's going on here. He's making poor decisions, and he should have, you know, sought out as a Levite, the one true God. So verse 12 says, and his master said to him, we will not turn aside into the city of foreigners who do not belong to the people of Israel, but we will pass on to Gibeah. And I can understand this too, as well. He is a Levite. He has absolutely wants nothing to do with foreigners who are not of the nation of Israel. Very cool for him. But this is a long quote from Matthew Henry. I'm just going to go slowly with it. If they had done so, it probably would have had a much better usage than they met with in Gibeah of Benjamin. If they had done so. Debauched and profligate Israelites are worse and much more dangerous than the Canaanites themselves. So, yeah, debauched and profligate, those are ugly words. Debauched literally means corrupted, impaired in morals or purity of character. That's a dark person. Okay? Profligate actually means recklessly extravagant or wasteful in the use of resources. And Matthew Henry was calling these Benjaminites of Gibeah that very thing. Debauched and profligate. Much worse than they would have had with the Canaanites themselves. But the master has become one of God's tribe, meaning the Levite. He's a Levite. Would by no means quarter. No, not one night in the city of strangers is what he said in verse 12. He goes, no, we will not turn aside. I won't even spend one night there. Not because he questioned his safety among them, so says Matthew, but he was not willing, if he could possibly avoid it, to have so much intimacy and familiarity with them as one night's lodging too, nor to be so much as beholden to them. He wanted nothing to do with the Jebusites. Absolutely not. He was a priest of God. He was called of the tribe of Levi. He seemingly served, which we said later on, I'm trying to get back to Shiloh, which we'll see in the next verse or two. So he literally doesn't want to spend one night, one iota, one bit of time with these corrupt, unsaved Jebusites. Well, he didn't know what lie ahead of him. He's not God, you know, but he was sticking to his morals, his Levite code. And he said, I'm not going to do it. The quote finishes, by shunning this place, he would witness against the wickedness of those that contracted friendship and familiarity with these devoted nations. Let Israelites, Levites especially, associate with Israelites and not with the sons of the stranger. Long quote. But I hope you got the gist of what Matthew Henry was saying. He says, I'm not going to wreck not even my reputation. I'm a Levite. I serve the holy God in the temple. I can't go into this town, not even for a moment. Not even take lodging here, is what he's saying. Instead, he decided to move forward to go to a town of Gibeah or Ramah, which were in the Benjaminites' territory. They were Benjaminites, Israelite nation, Israelite family. Does it make sense? Okay. And he said to this young man, come, let us draw near to one of these places, spend the night at Gibeah or Ramah. So they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down on them, Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin. And they turned aside there to go in and spend the night at Gibeah. And he went in and sat down in the square of the city, for no one took them into his house to spend the night. And as we talked about this morning, it was amazing you talked about this at this point. Matthew Henry said, at this time, there were no inns. There were no holiday inns. There were no places to stop. There was no hotel or motel. He said, there were no public houses in which, as with us, travelers might have entertainment for their money. But instead, they carried their entertainment along with them as this Levite did, meaning they were bringing everything they needed to support themselves. All they needed was a place to put it. All they needed was a little bit of hospitality. I got a stall in a barn. Will that work? I got an extra room in the house. Will that work? But they brought their entertainment with them, meaning they brought their own food. They brought their own coverings. They brought their own fodder and food for their donkeys. They brought their own water. They even had money to pay. They had everything they needed. They sat in the square and waited for someone to invite them into their home. So, It's interesting. I'm going to read the next few verses. Verses 16. And behold, an old man was coming in from his work in the field that evening. The man was from the hill country of Ephraim. He was sojourning in Gibeah. The men of the place were Benjaminites. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the traveler, the open square of the city. And the old man said, where are you going? And where do you come from? And he said to him, we are passing from Bethlehem in Judah to the remote parts of the hill country of Ephraim. So they're from the same place. From which I come, I went to Bethlehem in Judah, and I am going to the house of the Lord, but no one has taken me into his house. We have straw and feed for our donkeys, with bread and wine for me and your female servants, and the young man with your servants. There is no lack of anything, he tells the old man. And the old man said, peace be to you, I will care for all your wants, only do not spend the night in the square. Almost like a warning, isn't it? I will give you everything. Even though the Levite that was traveling had everything he needed, the old man said, come to my house and I will care for everything that you need. Don't even worry about it. I will care for all your wants. Only do not spend the night in the square. So verse 21, so he brought him into his house and gave the donkeys feed, and they washed their feet, they ate and they drank. Interesting. I hear it as a warning, almost like he knew what was happening in this town. Okay? He said, peace be to you. I will care for all your wants. Do not spend the night in the square. Our traveler depended on the hospitality of those around us, of those around him. He needed that hospitality. Too much. I have a quote here I wanted to read about our Lord and Savior again. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. Think about this old man that said, do not spend the night in the square. And this is why we're called to do such things. This is Matthew 25, reading verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. This is Jesus talking. Okay, we're talking about the final judgment. So think about this in terms of hospitality, loving others, forgiving those of you who've been forgiven. Okay, he will separate people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, the ones on his right, the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked you, and or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, the goats that he separated, depart from me, you cursed, depart from me, you cursed, into the internal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. I was naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer, saying to them, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Ouch. That's our Lord and Savior talking. We're talking about a story so far before this, that hospitality was that important even then. And this old man, who was an Ephraimite himself, saw the need for these people to not let them stay in the square, and he showed hospitality to the least of these. I don't know, kind of struck me. I hope it just kind of pricks your heart a little bit to see the need for to share what we've been given by God's grace, to extend an invitation to show forgiveness, hospitality, not to be idle in the work of the Lord, and to wonder, am I walking in the light while Jesus is here with me, or am I walking in the dark because he's not here with me? Walk in the light a little bit longer while I am with you, he said, versus walking in the dark. And we need a firm belief of the work that Jesus did on the cross. Just as much as we believe that, these things that he's teaching us are just as important to us. We need to show that love, that grace, that mercy to those around us. We need to show that help, that hospitality, that forgiveness. We have to have that firm belief in what Christ did for us, because without it, we will never be able to show hospitality or forgiveness or love like this story has been telling us. So finally, he brought him into his house and gave the donkeys feed, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. And let's leave it there for today. Let's have a prayer. My dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you. All glory and honor are yours. Thank you for allowing us to come before you so we can give you all praise, glory, and honor through the work of your Son, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for the work that he did so that we may learn to walk in the light, because he is the light. He is the one that died so our sins may be forgiven. He is the one that washed us of our iniquity. He is the one that made us holy and righteous. We were given his righteousness, and he took our unrighteousness willingly. So help us to learn from walking in Christ's light, because we have that light that lives within us now. Therefore, help us to extend hospitality, extend forgiveness to those around us, extend the love that Christ showed us. Help us to live a life that would bring you, Father, through the work of your Son, glory and honor. Help us to do things that would look more like your Son as we grow and grow in our faith and in our walk, Father. We pray that the things that were said and done here today brought you glory and honor. And I pray these things in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.